today my visitor is Gabriel Huria. Gabriel, a warm welcome and hi Maya to our radio program.
Kia ora, Beate. Thank you.
Gabriel Huria is the mission leader of the Sisters of Mercy in New Zealand. She is of Maori descent, lives in north of Christchurch, but visits the Mercy Sisters and Mercy institutions in the whole country. Gabriel is also a representative of Te Urunanga or Ngai Tahu. She represents Te Ngai Tuahuriri. The tribe Ngai Tahu describes itself as Ngai Tahu are a resilient, entrepreneurial people who made our home in Te Waipo Namu, the South Island, over 800 years ago. Our ancestors were the first long-distance seafarers riding the ocean currents and navigating by stars on voyaging waka canoes from Hawaiki Nui. Gabriel was trained as a journalist and worked as a researcher for TVNZ and as a producer for national radio. Later on, she had several roles in the communication field, and in 2011, she was appointed mission leader of the Sisters of Mercy in New Zealand. Gabriel, as we heard in my interview with Dennis Horton earlier this year, it was because of a request from Maori women who wanted to have Wahine Tapu, sacred women, that Bishop Pompalier was bringing the first Sisters of Mercy to New Zealand. Now you, as a woman of Maori descent, are the mission leader of the Sisters of Mercy in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Are you often reminded of this background?
It's really interesting that you put it in that way, because I hadn't actually thought of that. But when you put it like that, they were incredible women that answered the call and came back then across the world on that journey. I think it was months long.
9 months,
That they must have been so brave and so full of faith to actually do that. But when you put it like that, I hadn't thought of it like that before. So there's a new responsibility on me.
And so can you tell me more about your role in the mission team?
I'm the kaihautū, so the purpose of our team is to ensure that all the mercy facilities across the country have mission at the heart of everything they do. And mission is God's mission on earth. So our charism is mercy, so our role is to provide programs and training and resources for all the facilities to make sure that mission is central to everything.
So that's for the staff or also for those who go to the Mercy?
For everyone. CEOs, principals, chairs of boards, staff, and then the people that benefit from our facilities. That it's a very strong current of mercy in everything we're doing.
So that they see the connection.
Yes. Yeah.
And you have a background in radio.
Yes.
In broadcast and as researcher and producer. Do you think that this familiarity with the media was one of the reasons why you were appointed for this role 3 years ago?
Yes, it probably was, because my trade has always been in communications. Mm-hmm. So the role does require a high level of communications, and I don't think you get a better training ground than in the media, in radio or television or print media, because you're always thinking about who your audience is and who you need to communicate with, and what's the best way to put that so that the audience that you're talking to understands and is interested in what you're doing. So it's incredibly important to be able to communicate, but equally important is to know how to listen.
That's part of the communication.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's talking one next to the other, but without talking to each other.
A one-way street. It's not that interesting. So the importance of listening to the needs of your audience and how you can respond to that in the best way you know how.
Yeah. So it's how to communicate and as a basis to listen, to be able to listen.
Yeah.
And can you tell me more about your work about the communication role
in Mercy?
Yes.
In Mercy, it's It's around pulling together all of the different organisations into to actually look at us as one big global family, really, and to make sure that what's of importance to the sisters, and how, you know, when you think about the history of the sisters in New Zealand and how many people they educated and how much they personally gave up because of their faith and because of their desire to deliver this mission, it's really important that in today's world we acknowledge those stories and recognise those stories as we move into the future, that we carry them with us.
It was not just the education that the sisters brought, but no. It was the way it was the way that people were educated and the way they were teaching,
yes,
the way they were living.
And in terms of nursing and the hospitals and everything that they set up in those early days, that we make sure we carry that forward with us.
That's part of communication.
Yes.
A different way, sometimes even without words, but it's also communication.
Telling stories. You know, what are your origin stories? What's of importance to you? What's your ethos and what are your values and what do you love about the facility that you work in? It's all of that.
For those of you who have just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Gabrielle Huria. She is the mission leader of the Sisters of Mercy in Aotearoa, New Zealand. She is a link person between the different members of our Mercy family, and she told us how she became part of the Mercy family, that her main role is communication, and communication involves listening and being able to tell stories and to know where we come from. And so I think that in order to be so passionate for the mission of the Sisters of Mercy as you are, you certainly have a little story which left a big impression on you and then drew your attention to the Sisters of Mercy. Is this the case?
Yes, it was. Like, I live in Christchurch, as you've already said, just north of Christchurch, but we had gone through the earthquakes and I was quite happy in my job. I had a company that was doing pretty well and hadn't really thought of changing career paths at all. But after the earthquakes, I was thinking, you know, when you have that life and death experience, it really clarifies for you what's of importance to you. So I was thinking about, am I doing the right things in my life? And we lost a cousin during the earthquake, and it really makes you think when you go through a difficult period of what's important to you. So, you know, clearing out the wheat from the chaff. Mm-hmm. But I hadn't really thought about a job change at all until. And then one day my husband was reading the paper and he was looking at the jobs and he said, oh, here's a job you'd like. It's with the sisters you love in the church, you know, because I'm Catholic and I love my faith. And I looked at it and it was the Sisters of Mercy, and I said, my husband's not Catholic, and I said, oh, you've got it all wrong. I was educated under the RSCJs, not the Mercies, because within the Catholic world you understand the difference.
Yes. And then can you just say what the abbreviation means?
The RSCJs are the Sacre Coeur nuns, and they're a French order of Sacred Heart Sisters.
Yes.
And I was educated in Wellington by them. And anyway, when I looked at the ad and I saw the job, and suddenly it was like a light switch going on in my head. And from that moment onwards, I couldn't think of anything else that I wanted to do. And everything I was doing seemed pale in comparison. And I have never worked so hard in my life to research and be prepared and to go through an interview process. And to, I didn't have a plan B. It was from that point on, it was all I wanted to do. So it was really, if that's the Holy Spirit calling, then it definitely.
And it even called through your husband.
Yes, through my husband. He didn't get it wrong at all. I was wrong.
And did you know much about the Sisters of Mercy before?
No, but after that period, I did from schooling and, you know, the hospital in Dunedin and the hospice in Auckland and schooling in Wellington and St Mary's in Wellington and St Catherine's out at Kilburnie. So I knew about that, but I didn't really know the story of Catherine McAuley. I knew about Pompallier and, mm-hmm. and the sisters that came out with them, but it hadn't really featured in my thinking. But after that process, I think I knew everything that there was to find.
And now you're helping others to find also more about the Sisters of Mercy.
Yeah, the internet is a wonderful thing.
But also your communication role, I think that's part of it.
You know where to look to find the information.
And how is it to be a mission leader and yet being a layperson, not one of the Sisters of Mercy, but still the one who promotes and to make sure that this, the mission that you were mentioning before, that it's not lost?
I'm the first layperson in the role, so I think that in that aspect, my Māori background and my connection to Te Runanga o Naitahu and a tribal organisation that's needed to set itself up and create links between tribal people that work in the organisation and non-tribal people has given me a really good basis to do this job, because I understand an organisation that is trying to communicate what its ethos and values are to people that may not have known anything about it before they came to work there. Mm-hmm. So I think I had a really good training ground in that, in my old roles within Naitahu. But I also think that when I first started, the sisters sent me on a 3-month trip around the country, and I sat with the sisters in each place and heard their origin stories and the stories of their lives, and it was incredible. And I really felt like I was sitting with Kaumātua and they were telling me their whakapapa stories. Mm. So I saw that link, but where it was blood ties with whakapapa, it was with the sisters. It's the God's outpouring of love that is what unites us all. It's like the thread of mercy weaves through everything.
Yeah, it's also like a family.
Yes, like a family. So that was extraordinary, and it was such a wise thing to do, because it set me up with the basis of what is important going forward and what I need to make sure the organisation respects and honours going forward.
Did you write some of the stories down?
All of them. I got pages and pages of notes.
That would be really interesting. Yeah. I'd love to read them.
Yeah.
And could you tell us in a few words what the mission of the Sisters of Mercy is? You mentioned God's mission, but can you tell me a little bit more very specifically?
What's unique about this with Catherine McAuley and the Sisters of Mercy is the mission of mercy. So mercy is the charism, and that's the... But with the Sisters of Mercy, they were the first sisters to go out into the world and not be cloistered sisters. They went out and helped those in need. So a key part of the Sisters of Mercy is, where is the need? But you ascertain where is the need through contemplation and prayer. And so they're about contemplation and action to where is the need. And they're focused, in Catherine's day, she focused on women and children in need. And today the focus still is fairly strongly on women and children, but it is also bringing in the environment, you know, what we're doing to the earth in today's world and how we're destroying it and what we need for it to sustain itself, what we need to do. So it's about contemplation and action.
Mm-hmm. I think that Catherine McAuley was certainly also listening and observing, and that's how she decided to do something for women and children.
Yeah.
And that's today the focus is a bit broader.
Yes. Yes.
So you always have to see what is happening around you.
Yeah. And the other thing I loved about them was the sense of beauty, and her sense of beauty of that everyone has a right to experience something beautiful.
That's a nice way to put it. Mm. I remember when Pua Media was here and she said, whenever we reach a goal with our people who are vulnerable and who are hurt, and whenever we reach a goal, we celebrate. Mm. So they have something beautiful.
Yeah.
They look forward to that celebration, so they work hard on it.
It's very important to see that in one's life. It's very important to make it available to people. What is something beautiful and something to celebrate?
Mm-hmm. And earlier this year, as I mentioned before, I interviewed Dennis Horton. The interview is still available. If you go to www.planetaudio.org.nz Muffin Talk, you just have to click on the button Archive. Dennis Horton told us the story of the Sisters of Mercy when they came to New Zealand, and it's a really moving story. It's incredible. And I'd like to know, is this history of the sisters, did that influence their mission and today's mission?
Oh, very much so. I think in Aotearoa, New Zealand, we're a unique incarnation of mercy in this fact that the first call was from the women of Ngāpuhi, who asked Bishop Pompalier to bring back the wahine tapu. Well, that has threaded through. When they got here, they got a little bit waylaid with the Irish migrants and educating their children, but they still had very strong connections with Māori of the Auckland area. And I think that today, their commitment to honouring the treaty is at their last chapter, at the sisters' last chapter, where they gather to... they gather every 5 years to look at where their next future focus is going to be. And the treaty was a very important aspect of that. And when I first started, and everywhere I went, I was mihied in Māori by sisters. It mm-hmm. was incredible. Coming out of Christchurch, you know, you don't expect to see a large group of elderly women
greeting in Māori.
Yeah, it was very
and knowing about the protocol.
Yes, and really making an effort to understand it. So,
Were the sisters learned Māori on the boat with Bishop Pompalier?
Yeah, they did. It would have been interesting to hear that version of it with the Frenchman teaching the Irish woman how to speak Māori.
But I think that with French you have a very clear pronunciation of vowels.
Yes.
And so I think it was better that the Frenchman taught the Māori than if it was an Irish or English speaking person, because they pronounced the vowels in a different way.
Yes.
So I think that it was good. I'm sure that Bishop Pompalier was a good teacher and they were listening.
Nothing else to do though, with it, you know.
Well, they were quite they didn't have much space on that boat and had lots of problems.
Yeah.
Dennis was telling us a little bit about it in the interview.
Mm.
And how can you tell me about how you are supporting members of different Mercy family members? I think we had a few representatives of Mercy institutions here in the studio, and the interviews are all archived. We had the manager of Te Ukaipo, Te Waipuna Puawai, Mercy Hospice. We had somebody from Mercy Hospice, and we are from the Mercy Spirituality Center. So how do you support the different members?
We try to utilize our resource to create programs that and resources that touch every part of the organisation. So we develop, first off, if there's a new leader in an organisation or a new board chair or new board members, we have quite a thorough induction process into the organisation so that they see that they're not only their own facility but they're part of this global network. And also that they're very sure of the origin story of Catherine and how we came to be here in New Zealand. So we provide resources, programs and training, and we also do board governance training, because unless your leadership needs to be of the right heart,
mm-hmm.
so that they have the right values base going through each organisation. And when people are volunteers, you know, it's a wonderful thing that they do. We recognise they don't have the time to put in because they've got busy day jobs, you know, yes. where they're earning a living. So we try and make things as simple and as easy to digest and to absorb as possible, and to capture the spirit of why they volunteered in the first place. So not to make it arduous for them and to add to their body of knowledge. And then in the organisations themselves, in the schools, we run programs for the students that are largely focused on Catherine's story of her leadership story and her development as she went through life, but also who they are as young women and what are their gifts and how can they use their gifts to create a better world. So to understand yourself, we utilise the tools of a Myers-Briggs type process, you know, to look at what sort of personalities they have.
And you were mentioning that anybody involved in the Mercy world here would learn something about the origins in Ireland. Do the people in Ireland also learn something about this good example in New Zealand, because they were Irish nuns who came here?
I think that they do. They're constantly surprised by us, I think. we've just did a whole photo program throughout the country, taking photographs of different aspects of Mercy in New Zealand that we'll send to Ireland for a big exhibition they have at the Mother House in Bagot Street in Dublin. And that the last one stayed up for about 10 years in the big exhibition space. So,
10 years.
Yeah, it's a good one. If you get up there, you stay in for a while. But
you have to provide the best pictures.
Yes, yeah.
So in Ireland, they are learning about what happened in New Zealand on the other side of the world.
Yeah. And they carry the stories around the world to, you know, inform. It's a very good network, and the sisters are very good at passing on information around each other, who's doing what around the world.
Do they also meet every now and then, all the sisters from different parts of the world?
Yes, the leadership team of... there's a leadership group amongst all the Sisters of Mercy in the world, and they meet in Dublin regularly.
Mm. It's good to stay connected.
Yes.
And we've heard about where and how it all started and what you're doing at the moment. What are the plans for the future?
Well, for the future, we're really thinking about how we move in more into the social media space and more into a media space using technology like webinars, and how we can get as big a spread with the small resource that we have. So how we can make it go as far as we possibly can. The Facebook page that we've set up for students, Mercy students across all our schools, has been really popular. And it's definitely, and the website for Once Were Mercy Schools, for them to understand what their charism was, even though they may not be Mercy Schools anymore.
What is the website's address for this?
It's Mercy Primary Schools New Zealand. For the Once Were Mercy Schools. So if you put that in Google search, you get the website. And then the Facebook page is Mercy Women New Zealand Facebook. You get onto the Facebook page. They've been very popular in the analytics from who's going and how much time they've been spending on the site. It's been telling us a lot about the user. Mm-hmm. So our next goal is to move more into that space so that we are creating more opportunities online for people working in the organisations, board members, anybody, anywhere to tap into and learn more about the organisation they're a part of. So that's definitely where we're heading.
But you won't forget those who are not using the computer all the time.
No. We've got, because you know, people living in our aged care facilities and the sisters are older than me, and I'm probably at the age where I'm in between ease. I'm not like a young person that uses social media very easily, but I'm not at the age where I can't use it either. I'm sort of in between.
So you're a good link person.
Yeah. So we're very mindful of those who need to want to read. So we still keep up our printed material and our face-to-face. There's nothing like face-to-face. There's nothing better than that, apart from radio, which is ear-to-ear.
And we are face-to-face.
Yeah, we are.
I'm not calling you on the phone.
No, true.
I think that's really important, that all different communication media are targeted so that you can spread the good news. And I think that it's in our Mercy Spirituality Center, we offer also talks and different events for people who need some time out, and some don't want to have any electronic media around. So it's good to have something for everyone.
That's so true. And the Spirituality Center, you know, what we try and do in our programs is it's like take people come out of their busy work days to do a program with us. It needs to be like warm oil over their spirit, which is what you do at the Spirituality Center. Everything you do there, you come out of the center and you feel you go back onto that busy road, but you feel like you've been in the little oasis of calm, and you've learned something for the day, and had wonderful hospitality.
Well, we even have a group that meets every Monday evening. They just come to the chapel for Christian meditation. It's for 1 hour, and they don't want to speak much. They just want to listen and then have a quiet time, and then they go home, but they are relaxed afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's good to have that space out of the busy world, and it's good to tackle from all sides to get people involved and to share their stories. And like what you said, these stories, are you sharing these stories from some of the sisters when you say about their backgrounds and that what fascinated you so much?
Sometimes I do. If they're comfortable with it, mm-hmm. I would. But if sometimes, then you know they prefer to be quieter.
Yeah.
But in terms of the contemplation, one of the things, the key thing I've learnt while I've been with Sisters of Mercy has been that contemplation and action. And so the busier I get, you know, between family life, work life, and then tribal life, the busier I get, I've learnt to actually spend more time in meditation. And it's incredible how that works. That really works.
It's like fueling up your engine.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly like that.
Okay, thank you very much, Gabrielle, for your information on your work as the leader of the mission team of the Sisters of Mercy. And I think it's really important not to lose that link to the foundress, to the story, and also to the story within New Zealand, not just the story of the origins of the Mercy Sisters, but also the Mercy Sisters here in New Zealand, which is quite extraordinary. And I'm glad that you're also sharing it internationally. And I think it's, how many different institutions do we have here of Mercy Sisters that you have to take care of?
There's 22. But not all of them are within my remit.
Yeah. 22 is quite a big area.
Across the country. Yeah.
You're travelling a lot, I'm sure.
Yes, I'm often on a plane.
But if you need some time out, you can come to our Mercy Spirituality Centre.
Yes.
And also, if anybody would like to have some time for discernment, to find out what you can do, and you might consider spending some time at our Mercy Spirituality Centre in Epsom. We offer retreats, Christian meditation, spiritual companioning, but we also have very interesting programs which you can access through our website, mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. And I thank you very much, Gabrielle, for coming here to the studio, for being available and sharing with us some of her work. And it's really amazing. Thank you very much, Gabrielle.
Thank you, Beate. Thank you for the opportunity.